For the Christian, don't go down the road of self-trust. God's going to discipline you. There is a judgment seat of Christ, not for sin, but for the deeds we do in the body. There are loss and gain of eternal rewards. Don't go down self-trust. Fear God and keep His word by His power and strength. Do not lean on your own understanding.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, in today's broadcast, we continue our look at the parable of the unfaithful wife.
Yes, we do, Dave, and I need to caution our listeners that if you have little ones in the room, please guard their ears. There are some things in today's passage that are not suitable for them. Okay, well, let's turn to our passage, Ezekiel chapter 16, as we begin.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all the words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the peoples answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We will do. And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. God made a covenant with them. And they said, we're going to do it. We're going to obey your word. We're going to do it. We're going to enter into this covenant. We're going to be your people in that essence. We're going to obey you. You see, God's intent was to marry in this allegory Israel we see. And he did. He says, entered into a covenant so that you became mine, declares the Lord. At Sinai, Israel voluntarily became the Lord's bride. And notice we see this in verses 9 to 13, that God cared for her and adorned her. Then I bathed you with water, washed off the blood from you, anointed you with oil. God purified his bride here and took care of her. And then we have a description of her adornment, verse 10. And I also clothed you with embroidered cloth, put sandals of porpoise skin on your feet, and I wrapped your feet with fine linen, covered you with silk, and I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your hands and necklace around your neck. I also put a ring in your nostril, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown in your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your dress was fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour, honey, and oil, so you were exceedingly beautiful and advanced in royalty. So Israel, and thus Jerusalem here, encountered the full blessing of God. And she became exceedingly beautiful, like a woman, advanced in royalty. And most likely, what he's speaking of here is the time of Solomon. Notice what he says in verse 14, then your fame went forth among the nations on account of your beauty. For it was perfect because of my splendor, which I bestowed on you, declares the Lord God. And let me share, you can turn there, 2 Chronicles chapter 9. At the time of Solomon, the kingdom was exceedingly beautiful and exceedingly awesome in a sense. 2 Chronicles chapter 9. Now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, she came to Jerusalem to test Solomon with difficult questions. She had a very large retinue, I think that's how you say that, with camels carrying spices and a large amount of gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was on her heart. And Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from Solomon, which he did not explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen the wisdom of Solomon at the house which he had built, the food at his table, the seating of his servants, the attendants of his ministers in their attire, his cupbearers in their attire, his stairway which he went up to the house of the Lord, she was breathless. Then she said to the king, it was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came, and my eyes have seen it. And behold, the half of the greatness of your wisdom was not told me. You surpassed the report that I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are those servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord God who delighted in you, setting you over his throne as king for the Lord your God, because your God loved Israel, establishing them forever. Therefore, he has made you king over them to do justice and righteousness. We see that Israel was beautiful as a nation. It was beautiful. And we see it was extremely blessed. God bestowed his splendor upon his bride, and she was beautiful. And God wanted to remind her of this, of all he had done for her. But as we'll see in this allegory within Jerusalem's actions, she was not a faithful bride. And that's really what we see here. And again, I'm not going to get into the details. You're old enough to understand these things. I'm not going to explain some of these things. You can look at them later, but it's pretty clear what's being spoken of here. Verse 14, then your fame went forth among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was perfect because of my splendor, which I bestowed upon you, declares the Lord. There you go. That's what we just saw. But, and here's the key for all of you who name the name of the Lord, who are maybe not his. The key is, who do you trust? The key is, who do you give glory to? He says, but you trusted in your own beauty, and you played the harlot because of your fame, and you poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. Yikes. That's horrible. Now, we know as believers, if you're truly saved, you can't lose your salvation. Once truly saved. Now, if someone's not saved and they lose it, then they didn't lose what they didn't have it to start with, right? But see, we see Israel's failure, although it is speaking of those who will be judged, it is a lesson for us in whom the end of the ages have come. Speaking of Israel's failures in the wilderness, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul says, now all these things happened as an example, and they were written for our instruction on whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So we need to be careful. He says, but you trusted in your beauty. Instead of trusting in a gracious God who gave them life as a nation and became their husband and cared for them, who spoke to them his word. Instead of trusting in him, they trusted in their own beauty. What a shame. You see, if you're saved, you can't lose your salvation, but you certainly grieve the Lord if you trust in other things. You're going to be disciplined. We're not to trust in ourselves. We're to trust in the Lord. You see, listen to what the scripture said, and I read this earlier. Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my teaching. Don't forget God's word. But let your heart keep my commandments. It's a heart issue. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness, chesed, and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Keep it in your heart so that you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your understanding. We have our own understanding about everything. Everything in our lives, we have our understanding. We are not to lean on that. We are to go to God. We are to trust in him with all our heart. And he says here, in all your ways, acknowledge him. All your ways, know him. Everything you do, make sure he's involved. Know him, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshing to your bones. A lot of people need healing. Well, here we see. This might be the reason for some. Not, maybe for others not. We know about Job. But for some, maybe it is. Trust in the Lord. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Then turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. The Lord shares this to Jerusalem through Jeremiah. And back earlier in Jeremiah chapter 2, it says that Jerusalem has committed two evils. They've forsaken the Lord. Paraphrasing, and they are trusting in broken cisterns that can't hold water. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. And here it is, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, will not see prosperity when it comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. You see, if you're not truly saved, you're not going to trust in the Lord. You're going to trust in other things. But we believers can be tempted to lean on our understanding. We'd be tempted to trust in other things. Don't do it. We need to see at the core of the wickedness that we will see about Jerusalem was a lack of trust in the Lord, but a arrogant self-elevation and trust in mankind and self. That's what all non-believers do, by the way. But these were supposed to be God's people. It was a lack of faith. And then a trust in the actual prosperity that God had granted them. Well, God has sure blessed America, and people sure give the blessings the glory, don't they? Kind of sad, isn't it? Sure is sad. God should get all the glory. And we have a picture here of an ugly harlot who would play the harlot in an unrestrained, overflowing manner. And you poured out your harlotries, end of 15, on every passerby who might be willing. This is a horrible picture of spiritual harlotry. And what's the result of this? And this is a part that I'm not going to read through and get completely focused on here. You can read it later, but I think it makes the point as I just read through it. You'll see that they squandered and killed God's wonderful gifts. And you took some of your clothes and made for yourself high places of various color. High places were where they worshipped other gods, by the way, like the Canaanites. And you played the harlot with them. You spiritual harlotry, which should never have come about nor happened. This shouldn't have happened. You were God's people, supposedly. Should never do that. You also took your beautiful jewels made of my gold and my silver, which I had given you. You made for yourself male images that you might play the harlot with them. They're doing horrible stuff. Then you took your embroidered cloth and covered them and offered my oil and my incense before them. Also my bread, which I gave you, fine flour and honey, which I fed you, you would offer before them for a soothing aroma. So it happened, declares the Lord God. They were idolatrous with the stuff that God had blessed them with. Moreover, you took your sons and your daughters, whom you had born to me, and you sacrificed them to idols to be devoured. Were your harlotries so small a matter? You slaughtered my children and offered them up to idols, causing them to pass through the fire. This is wickedness. You wonder how people who name the name of Christ can be okay with aborting a child in the birth canal or aborting at all. Well, it's because, as we'll see, they don't know the Lord. They trust in themselves and they glory in their own accomplishments. And even the things they've been blessed with, they glory in those. And we're going to see the only thing that waits is judgment if there's no repentance. The repetition, verse 16, you took, verse 17, you took, verse 18, you took, verse 20, you took. Jerusalem took the beautiful things that God had blessed them with, and I'm not going to get into it, you can read it later, but instead did very wicked things. They used the beautiful things God blessed them, turned them into sexual and idolatrous abominations and offerings to other gods. And then we have the epitome of wickedness. They became fully united with the wickedness of the Canaanites as they offered their sons and daughters, which were born to the Lord. In the covenant they had, they would offer their firstborn to the Lord. But they were taking the same kids and offering to idols. Sacrifice them to idols to be devoured. Were your harlotries so small a matter? Is it a small thing? The answer is absolutely not. It's a horribly awful thing. You slaughtered, and he says, my children, and offered them up to idols, causing them to pass through the fire. That's the Canaanite rituals, offering to Moloch and those things. They were just like the Canaanites. Lest you think that self-trust leading to spiritual adultery doesn't lead to further intense wickedness, you need to look at this passage. Were your harlotries so small a matter? Absolutely not. The fruit of their harlotry was sacrificing their own children in idolatry. For the Christian, don't go down the road of self-trust. God's going to discipline you. There is a judgment seat of Christ, not for sin, but for the deeds we do in the body. There are loss and gain of eternal rewards. Don't go down self-trust. Fear God and keep his word by his power and strength. Do not lean on your own understanding in all your ways. Everything you do, from the spouse you pick to marry, from the school you plan to go to, from whatever it is, you give those things over to the Lord. You trust him. You don't lean on your understanding, and you allow him to bring it about if it's his will, whatever it might be. Do you fear sin or the consequences of sin? Do you fear God? Those who claim his name and yet don't fear him go down this road, as we see, as Israel did. Notice along with self-trust, there's a forgetting of one's origin. Verse 22, and besides all your abominations and harlotries. Now this also helps us later on for understanding Revelation. When you look at the great harlot, by the way, it'll help us later on. You'll see that. That's just a side note. And besides all your abominations and harlotries, you did not remember the days of your youth when you were naked, barren, screaming your blood. Jerusalem was nothing. Israel was nothing. God gave them life. God delivered them from the mighty hand of Pharaoh. And he made a covenant with them. They became his special people. Now, we need to be warned, lest we think we're something when we're nothing, we deceive ourselves. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." We're nothing apart from the Lord, but we are everything in Christ. We're so blessed in Christ. We're his children, God's very children. We have an Abba Father. But apart from him, we're nothing. If you're a believer, when you were saved, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. There was no value. Your immense value is now because of Christ. Jerusalem had forgotten where she had come from and everything the Lord had done for her as a nation. Don't stray from the word of God. Listen to the warning back in Deuteronomy, which they had, by the way. They had it. They could have read it that day. They could have pulled it out and read it. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's a warning ultimately for those who don't know him, who pretend to know him, and thus they don't know him, so they don't obey him, and thus they forget him, and thus they go to judgment. It's really a warning for that, but it's a warning that you've been examining your heart. Make sure you're right with the Lord. Deuteronomy 8:11. Beware lest you forget the Lord by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances, his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. How do you forget God? You forget to obey him, right? Practically speaking. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, this is what happened to them, and when you have herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and he led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground, where there was no water, and he brought water for you out of the rock of flint. In the wilderness he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise you might say in your heart, my power and my strength and my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God, and go after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes perish before you, so you shall perish, because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. There's a lesson here. If you're trusting in yourself and not obeying God, having forgotten what he's done, maybe you're on your way to judgment. Maybe you're truly not saved. You've known about salvation in Christ. You speak about it, but you live like hell. Maybe it hasn't been applied to you by faith. Maybe you've not really trusted in him. Today's the day of salvation. Turn to him. And for believers, don't stray from the word of God, right? Proverbs talks about, you know, he who turns his way from the word, prayer is an abomination to the Lord. Don't turn away. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Give him all the glory and all the credit for everything that is done in your life. Hide his word in your heart that you might not sin against him, right? Like David said. And how blessed is the man who meditates in his word day and night, right? We read that earlier. Now notice as we continue, because of self-trust and a forgetful heart, Jerusalem's beauty turned into abomination, verse 23. Then it came about after all your wickedness, woe to you, declares the Lord God. He's got to add that in there. Woe means a statement, woe, woe to you. It's a statement of impending judgment. That you built yourself a shrine and made for yourself a high place in every square. You built yourself a high place atop every street and made your beauty abominable. And you spread your legs to every passerby to multiply your harlotry. It's a very graphic illustration. Woe, woe to you. They had unrestrained lust without, as we'll see, satisfaction. Woe, woe. We're going to see that in graphic fashion, their harlotry was to each and everything around them, and they didn't trust the Lord. They trusted, as we'll see, in the nations around them. They trusted in other gods, and it was very vile. He said, we see this in verse 26, you also played the harlot with the Egyptians, your lustful neighbors, and multiplied your harlotry to make me angry. We'll see in the next chapter, chapter 17, that Babylon's puppet king that they install rebelled against Babylon by seeking Egypt's help, but he didn't seek the Lord's help. He sought the weapons and horses rather than the Lord's help. Look at Isaiah 31. Isaiah 31. You see, if you live your life trusting and depending on men and things, then you might not be the Lord's. There might be judgment coming, and God's warning you. In case you've lived in a Christian home your whole life and you've done everything your own way, you think you're saved, but are you really? Hey, if you're truly saved, praise the Lord. God's Spirit with His Word will affirm in your spirit that you're His. We see that. Isaiah 31, verse 1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Woe! Yet He also is wise and will bring disaster and does not retract His words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of all the workers of iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men, not God, and their horses are flesh, not spirit. So the Lord will stretch out His hand, and he who helps will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and all of them will come to an end together. That's the harlotry that he's talking about. And he's talking about the judgment that would come. Trusting in other nations, trusting in their neighbors, going to other gods. When you reject the Lord and trust in other things, it angers the Lord and he will act. And I believe as we see here, there are those who did not know him. They claimed his name, they called his name, but they didn't know him. Because of their self-trust, God delivered them. Notice he delivers them over to famine and also to those who actually hate them. Verse 27, back in our passage. Behold, now I have stretched out my hand against you and diminished your rations. I'm cutting off your food. And deliver you up to the desire of those who hate you, the daughters of the Philistines, who are ashamed of your lewd conduct. Even the neighbors who they were having interactions with in terms of trusting them instead of the Lord were ashamed of Jerusalem's lewd conduct. And he says, moreover, verse 28, and notice, by the way, we'll see a principle here. Sin doesn't satisfy. Moreover, you played the harlot with the Assyrians because you were not satisfied. Verse 28, you even played the harlot with them and were still not satisfied. You also multiplied your harlotries with the land of merchants, Chaldea, and yet with this you were not satisfied. Israel played the lustful harlot, wronging its neighbors, making God angry. And it didn't bring satisfaction. Just bring God's anger, by the way. It's a lie that sin will satisfy you. It's a lie. It doesn't satisfy. It's an insatiable thing that cannot be satisfied. You need to confess it. Fear the Lord and turn from evil. And when you do fail, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin is the monster that can never be satisfied. It only requires more and more and more. And it never satisfies.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, for that person who's struggling, what would you tell them?
Well, Dave, for the person who's struggling with the reality that the wages of sin is death and that sin doesn't satisfy, for that person who is in the pit of their sin and is convicted by it, I would say there is a solution. You see, Jesus Christ died for your sins and he rose from the dead. And if you turn to him, he will set you free from your sins. Of whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Turn to Jesus today. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God who took on human flesh and died for your sins. Call upon him to be saved, and he will save you from your sins, and you will be delivered. And also for those believers who have been caught up in sin,
just confess your sin and be set free and walk with Jesus. Okay, we're still not done with this passage, so make plans to join us tomorrow as we conclude our look at Ezekiel chapter 16.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.